Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Make you smile first. Church bulletin bloopers. Things go wrong in church bulletins. To the horror of Ruth. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30. Please use the back door of the church. At the evening service tonight, the sermon theme will be What is Hell? Come here early and listen to the worship group practice. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. This is a good one. Maureen, I like this one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Right. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. And the last one. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the service. Music will follow. So we're going to continue what Susan started last week on Ephesians. So my bit to do is from Ephesians 1:1-14. And actually, looking at this, I think we could have done like 8 weeks on this because there's so much stuff in here. So get yourself comfortable. I promise Rachel I'll finish by 1:45. So this is a real meaty message. Sorry for those vegetarians, but there's a lot of meat in this one to get your head around and your heart around. So I really feel this is the one sermon I've prepared so far that this is the most challenging. So there's a lot of stuff in here to really take on board. And if you do take it on board, I promise you, you'll have a totally transformed life. Something I picked up recently was when someone's speaking, or if you hear a message or something which you relate to, it's good to take an action to show that you relate to that. There's something I thought the other day is when someone's speaking or you hear something, why don't you grab it and take it and bring it back to yourself and put it in your heart? Not just your head, but pull it back and put it in your heart to really take it on board. I had something the other week where on Monday nights I visit the care home to see Titch and some other people there. And there's one lady there, Valerie, she can't do much apart from lying in the bed. And I talk with her, we're getting to know each other and her husband, Cyril. And at the end, before I left, she blew me a kiss to say thank you for talking to me. And I did this action, I took it, and I went like this, to say I take it and I receive it. So my encouragement for you as we go through this, if something jumps out, grab it and put it back and receive it. Don't just listen, receive it in your heart. The wonders of technology. Thank you. So, mind the reader. So, questions. Questions about your identity. Your identity as a believer of Christ. We all have life questions. Who am I? What's my identity? Who are we as the church? Who is God? Right, Ephesians actually helps you with that identity. Helps you to understand who you are in Christ. It's a great book. It's actually a letter. It's a letter from Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Paul was persecuted Christians in the past when he was Saul, but he had a God encounter. Paul had been to Ephesus, and several years now he was away. Later he was away, and he was writing back to the Christians in Ephesus as a form of encouragement. Ephesus was a great city, ranked in one of the top five Roman empires. So in verse 1, as Stephen so beautifully wrote, it said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful, grace and peace from our God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes to encourage. Do you need encouraging today? Are you feeling weak? Does everything else around you look strong apart from you? Are you feeling intimidated? Are you feeling disheartened or discouraged? As Christians, we have a personal relationship with Jesus. What does that mean? We're joined, we're united with him. And with a union, we share blessings. We share heavenly blessings. All Christians receive those blessings. It doesn't matter if you're a day one Christian or you're 50 years to 100 years Christian. You all have those blessings available. Actually, I read this and I think, yeah, this kind of makes me think. Christians are the most blessed people who walk the earth. Who believes that? So Paul encourages us in Christ. This is a life-giving message. He starts out off that saying, praise to the God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So these are heavenly blessings. They're not physical blessings like we have here, food and housing and everything else. These are blessings in the heavenly realms that you have. Every spiritual blessing, does that kind of jump out at you? Or did you know that and you're aware? What's a blessing? A blessing is a benefit. It's a benefit of being a Christ follower, these blessings. A real benefit. So we're going to go through a few of these benefits and blessings that we've got in the scriptures. So, first one, chosen by God. Someone else want to shout that out?
Chosen by God.
Thank you. The doctrine of predestination. Anyone aware of predestination? Big word. When rightly understood, is one of the most comforting and encouraging doctrines in the Christian has in his spiritual arsenal to support him through his life. To realise that God has absolute, that controls absolutely everything, and that nothing can take place without his say-so, is incredibly reassuring. Have a think about that for a minute. To realise that God controls absolutely everything and nothing can take place without his say-so, and is incredibly reassuring. To get through life to the end and to realise that there's not nothingness, but there is a smiling Father that has lovingly chosen you. But why did he choose us? It was for his love. He loves us. In verse 4 it says we're chosen before the foundation of the world. Can you get your head around that? Before he even created the world. And it makes you realise that actually your life matters. Existence is not an accident or byproduct of natural selection. God has been thinking about your destiny even before he said, let there be light. In 1 Peter 2, it says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies, who has called you out of the darkness into his marvellous light. So some benefits of being chosen. Three benefits for you to remember this morning. One, assurance through struggle, through your struggle. What God starts, he finishes, and he says that in his word. Two, strength after failure. God gives us power to get back up again when we've failed. I know I've failed many times, but God gets me back up. Even though today we may be consumed with defeat, God's decree for my tomorrow is victory. Let that sink in. And thirdly, hope in trials. All things work together for good. Even those moments when you feel victimized or hurt, or just plain unlucky, God is working for your good. When you believe this, pain, suffering, and loss lose their power. Chosen by God. Next one, holy and blameless. In Christ, you are holy and blameless. What does that mean? That means you are fit to serve him and worship him despite your shortcomings. God enjoys you when you approach him, and he gladly moves through your life to touch others. Not because of your own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ that has been attributed to you. Blameless in the Greek is a word which literally means without blemish, or spotless. You're spotless because of what Christ has done. We are without blame because someone has taken the blame for us, and that is Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb without spot or blemish, has taken our spots and blemishes upon himself and given his spotlessness to us. We have been made a church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, holy and blameless. Ephesians 5:27. Holy and blameless we are. In his love, you are loved. Do you know that you are loved this morning? Someone shout like that.
Amen. We're loved.
Thank you. In Christ, you stand in agape, or unconditional love. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn that. God didn't choose you because of something you did. He created you. He loves you. Unconditionally. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8:38-9. For I'm convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in our Christ Jesus our Lord. God showed his love for us, but while we were still sinners, he died for us. God's love poured into your heart is not the same as God's love proven to your mind. God's love poured into your heart is a real heart experience. Being loved by God is not just knowledge. I want you to know this. I want you to enjoy this gift. The outpouring of God's love deep in your heart. You can know something in your head, something through an argument, but you need to experience it in your heart from God's Spirit. Have you received that love? Have you really received that love? Or is he prompting you now with a little nudge to come a bit closer? You're loved. You're adopted. We're adopted. God has predetermined you to call you his own. So you're adopted. He has selected you to be his son or daughter. You are part of his family. He is your father. Many times when parents adopt a child, they go through a selection process, making a decision who they will adopt, what type of child, boy or girl, age, different things, and who they won't adopt as well as they go through. God's not like that. God's already went through his process about you a long time ago and decided that you should be adopted as one of his children. The Bible uses adoption as a picture of what God has done for us. We were dirty, diseased, impoverished, with no one to care for us. We were not there as helpless victims, but rather because of our deliberate rebellion from God, our turning away. But one day, he suddenly turned up at the cardboard shack that we were sleeping in, and in love, chose us to be in his family. He cleaned us up, removed our rags, clothed us with righteousness of Christ, fed through the nourishing of his word and guiding us through his Holy Spirit. He brought us into his family where we have brothers and sisters to share our burdens and joy, just as Susan mentioned earlier. He made us heirs that throughout eternity we will enjoy the riches of Christ. We are adopted. Someone shout that.
We are adopted.
Thank you. Okay, accepted. I'm accepted. It's got nothing to do with me. You are not rejected. Someone needs to hear that today. Many, many people need to hear it. You are not an outcast. You are not unworthy of approval. The Creator of the universe accepts you in Christ. You have been relationally reconciled in Christ and are pleasing to God. You might not have health in all your earthly relationships now, but in Christ there's nothing that gets in the way between you and him. He loves you. He accepts you as you are today. Most of us spend our lives trying to earn acceptance. We want to earn it from our parents, from our peers, from our partners, from people we respect, maybe even people we envy. The drive to be accepted is a deep drive that can influence the kind of clothes you wear, the kind of car you drive, the house you buy, or even the career. When you're accepted, when you really understand you're accepted by God, it does amazing things for your self-esteem. The truth is, Jesus accepts you. And acceptance is not based on your performance. It's not based on what you do. He loves you as you are. You don't have to earn his acceptance. You don't have to prove yourself. He knows you. He made you. He knows every fibre of your body. We need to stop thinking that I've got an unpleasable God and I've got to be a good boy or girl to be accepted. God, through Jesus, has already accepted. That's the good news. Whoa, big one. Redemption. I am redeemed. Someone say that.
I am redeemed.
Amen. So much meat here. I know time's flying, but I really challenge you afterwards to take this passage away and break it down and work through. Redemption. Outside Christ, you were a slave to sin and eternal death. You couldn't buy or earn your way out of it. It's not by good works. It's through Jesus that we've been saved. The price was for your freedom was the blood of Jesus. Jesus wasn't ever a slave. He was already free. And he paid for your freedom. Redeemed means regaining possession of something. Exchange for a payment. So he regained possession of us through that death. Could go a bit quicker there. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. This is why I've struggled in the past. I've been in some bad places over the years and struggled to forgive myself. But he forgives. In your life, you have turned your back on God morally. You have consciously rebelled against his law in your heart. You've ignored his wisdom and thought you were wiser and you knew better. In Christ, we're forgiven today. He forgives us. The word forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon, to cancel a debt. For a relationship to be restored. It's important to remember that forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. It's an act of love, mercy, and grace. Richness of God's grace. God's grace is always enough. Someone shout that out.
God's grace is always enough.
Amen. Grace means unmerited favour, to have in abundance. In Christ there's an abundant measure of favour flowing from your life to your life like a river. Favour from God. God's grace that is lavished upon us. We heard that again in the reading. That's the second time we've heard lavished recently, which is sticking in my mind a lot. Lavished is a real overflow. It's not just a small bit. It's a huge, abundant flow. Downpour. Downpour of rain on us. Howard was speaking this earlier. Wisdom and understanding. One of our other blessings is God gives us wisdom and understanding to know what to do in situations, and he helps us and guides us. But are we listening to that voice? This is available, but we need to have our ears open and to not think that we know best all the time. God reveals himself to us. So, one of the gifts of the blessings here is that he reveals himself. So if you're in relationship with him and you spend time with him and you know his heart, he reveals himself to you. Someone shout that.
God reveals himself.
Amen. Recap, verse 9 must be important, said it twice. Chosen by God, we're chosen by God. Predestined. To know you've been chosen before the foundation of the world is to know that your life matters. Do you feel like your life matters today? It does. It matters a lot. Verse 13, heard the word of truth. God's truth is light in darkness. We are not without counsel. We are not left in the dark. We have heard the good news and discovered the path of life. And through the Bible, God speaks to us and gives us wisdom and guidance. And also through other ways, he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and through different areas of our lives. But we need to be listening and hearing. This is a blessing that he will speak to us, and he does. As we hear many times in the one-minute stories, God is speaking to his people and helping people, which is really encouraging. Number 30, verse 13, sealed with the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit was prophesied about Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Joel, and John the Baptist, and Jesus has made it available to you through himself, through Christ. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a deposit, a seal. The Holy Spirit is God's seal on his people, his claim for us as his very own. The gift of the Spirit is to believers is like a down payment on our heavenly inheritance, which Christ has promised us. He secured for the victory on the cross. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that we are assured of our salvation. Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, who's someone who's present, who's here now, because Jesus is not around, but he's here to help us and to point us to the Father and to help us love the Father more. No one can break that seal of God. Eternal inheritance. Our eternal inheritance is in Christ and gives us steadfast peace, hope, and a sure hope. We have a rich inheritance coming. I heard this the other day, and this spoke to me. Some people just focus on the future, this is Christians, focus on the future, what's to come. Oh, I'm looking forward to heaven and spending eternity with God. But miss now, miss what's happening now. Others live in now, all about now, and forget what is to come. I believe we need to be a people who do both. We need to live in now, and work, come close to God and work through his will and look forward to what's to come. You know, we've got time now to get right our praise to God, because we're going to be doing it in eternity when we get to heaven. So let's be in the now as well as looking forward to the future. So just before I summarise, there's a story that Rachel's going to read, and then I'll tie things up.
Is the mic on?
Whoever takes the son gets it all. That's for us. That's all those blessings that we have through Christ as a Christ follower. If we've accepted Jesus in our heart, these are realities. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's fully understand our identity as Christ followers. Someone each read one of the words out. Let's start.
I am blessed, chosen,
adopted,
accepted,
redeemed,
and forgiven.
Amen. As Christians, we are the most blessed people who walk the face of the earth. Let's let that sink in this week. So we're going to have an opportunity for ministry time. So if something has triggered you, if something of those blessings you struggle to accept, but you are ready to accept.
Why don't you grab it and take it and bring it back to me?
So then please come forward and then we'll pray. So Susan and Keith, I ask you to come forward and then we'll play some music and then we'll have a short time where this is an opportunity for you guys to respond. So after I finished preparing this word, I was out walking the dog. It's where I hear from God the most, walking the dog. She's a blessing. God spoke to me and gave me a vision of a defibrillator. Some people's hearts here need to be restarted with the knowledge of God and these powerful areas. If that's speaking to you, please come forward. And also, if there's something in you that you'd just like prayer for, or to receive more of God, come forward and we'll pray. This is a time in church where we meet with God. Don't go away without coming to God and saying, you know, that step forward, stepping out of your chair, coming forward, I believe God steps forward to us. Because it says in the Bible that if we draw near to him, he draws near to us. So, we'll just have a short time now, so please.